You set the gold standard for your business. Your website should do the same. Wix puts you at the helm so you can enjoy the creative freedom of designing your site just the way you want. Want someone to bounce your ideas off? Talk with AI to create a beautiful site together. Generate on-brand content, images, media, and simply change or fine-tune any of it along the way. Whatever your business, manage it from one place and tie it all together with a personalized domain name. Gear up for success with a brand that says you best. You can do it yourself on Wix.
My name is Giorgio Settis. I'm the co-founder of Nutrafol.
My hair started thinning in my early 20s. I tried everything and nothing was really working. So we created Nutrafol. Our hair growth supplements undergo clinical trials and have helped millions of men and women get visibly thicker and stronger hair in just 3 to 6 months.
Hair growth starts from the inside at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm Vincent Joe.
Hi, I'm Kathy Reed.
And I'm Allison Reed.
Hi, I'm Ashley.
Hi, I'm Grace.
We're from the Haydenettes.
I am Mark Henretti.
Ciao a tutti, siamo Rebecca Ghirardi
e Filippo Ambrosini.
E vi diamo il benvenuto a
This Week in Skating.
Welcome to This Week in Skating, the weekly podcast bringing you the latest news from the world of figure skating. Here are your hosts, Daphne, Gina, and Matteo.
And we are back. Matteo is back from the Grand Prix final.
Physically back, yeah.
It takes a lot when you've been in that competition bubble to get your head back to, you know, your head used to being back in the real world with regular responsibilities again.
Yeah, and a competition like the Grand Prix final is quite intense for all the Grand Prix, because although you have a very small number of skaters, everything is happening one thing after the other, back-to-back things that you have to go around and talk about and check and follow and understand what you can post back and what you can share with the audience that we're in touch with. So when it finishes, you feel lost because you feel like, okay, what now? Back to life? Really? Already?
Back to reality.
That schedule is such a marathon, but we'll talk more about that later.
Mm.
Yeah, I went to one in 2011 when it was in Quebec City. It was amazing. I would totally go again if it was in North America. So before we kick off talking about the Grand Prix final, I wanted to mention that this Sunday is World Ice Skating Day, and Madison Chalk and Evan Bates are the official ambassadors. So that's exciting. And Gina, what about you? Are you going to be taken to the ice?
I'm hoping so. I've had a little issue with my skates, which I had to take care of this past weekend, but I hope all is going to be okay with them so that I can skate on Sunday. If I don't make it on Sunday, I have plans to skate on Friday. So I guess that's close enough. But I also saw that there's a lot happening for World Ice Skating Day at the Skating Club of Boston. Mia Bailey, who used to work at US Figure Skating and now works at the Skating Club of Boston, did a promotional video for what they have on tap. So if you're in the Norwood area, definitely go and skate at the Skating Club of Boston on World Ice Skating Day. Wish I could skate there. But of course, that would require a 6-hour drive.
It's a beautiful facility.
I mean,
I've been there. You've been there a number of times for different events, and it's such a beautiful place. So it is amazing to think that they're celebrating. You know, it's exciting that they're going to do some events there. And well, since Worlds is going to be in Boston, Norwood is not in Boston, but it's close-ish. It's not that far.
Yeah. And I wouldn't be surprised if some skaters practice there. It's an unofficial practice place. If you're going to Worlds, if you can make a side trip and go check out the Skating Club of Boston, if you've never been, I definitely recommend just going and seeing the facility. It's beautiful.
So we should probably kick off discussion on the Grand Prix final, and it's exciting. to have Mateo with us, as he was there in person and was able to see everything. So,
yeah, I was very glad to be back in Grenoble because I went there in 2018 and 2019 where they had the Grand Prix events. So it was nice to be back for a Grand Prix final there. The arena is probably not the biggest one to host a Grand Prix final, but the attendance was really, really good across the entire event. And even at practice, I can tell you, there were so many people there. And what they did very cleverly, which is something that I like to do in France, was to get schools there with their kids, primary schools by the look of it. So I remember that during the practice on the last day, on the Friday, there were all these kids there and they were screaming and they were supporting the skaters and the skaters were engaging with them. The atmosphere was phenomenal with this. But you will have seen that the ISU implemented a new LED technology at this event. So it was the first time that they did that as a live event. And it's something that they're testing for future use. So we actually had a very nice opportunity. The ISU invited us media to have a backstage event to explain the new technology and also go around areas like the judges panel area, the kiss and cry, and the ice resurfacing area. So we, first of all, we understood about the new technology, and they have these very high quality LED screens around the entire rink and on the kiss and cry. And they also have this arch to let the skaters in from. So it was the first time that they had this kind of, you know, if you think about it, they were almost presented as what they do with the athletics at the Olympic Games or the swimming. Or, you know, I was talking to someone else and I was told it reminds me of what they do when you go to a boxing event, which is probably something that is quite far from figure skating. But it's a very engaging way to get the athletes.
It's an entrance. Yeah, mm-hmm. I've seen it before in other things. And yeah, it does get you pumped up,
yeah,
for performances.
It does.
Like, you just get excited.
Yeah. And I think the skaters love it because, you know, it's their moment there for those 5 seconds. And I think it will be repeated again. They're just checking the practicalities around it, because to install the LED, you have to take away a little bit of the ice surface, but not that much to not make the rink big enough for skaters to compete in. And when it comes particularly to American skating rinks, they are narrow and long. So the ISU have to think about how do we make it happen there. But if that could be happening to, you know, to most of the competitions and it's not too expensive, then I think it's quite a good improvement for the way things are done. And if that cannot be done, if you remember, the European Championships in Kaunas had these beautiful visuals, which we could not see in the arena, but those at home could actually mm-hmm. see with the flags getting on the ice when the skaters were starting. So there are ways that the ISU is considering to improve the enjoyment and the you know, the pleasure of watching the events. I'm actually going to write up about what I learned from that. It's quite interesting, and I definitely want to share the knowledge that was given to us, because it's also relating to, for instance, how what's the ideal temperature of the ice, what's the temperature in the arena at the next to the ice and at the bottom, at the top, and also, you know, quite a lot of things that are quite interesting and make you understand the dynamics of running an event. So I'm definitely going to write up and we'll promote the article when it's done. But yeah, overall, a very interesting event. You will have seen that the award ceremony was quite different as well. So we're close to Christmas. So what better than a Christmas tree to be gifted to athletes when they're getting their medals? That was quite interesting and very sweet.
I liked it. I thought this time, adorable. You know, it was different. You know, we sometimes see the gloves in Finland, and this was Christmas trees. And I thought, oh, this is cute.
Maybe another thing that I want to mention as well, just to give everyone a bit of behind the scenes, is I had a little drama that Daphne and Gina know about. So my technology, meaning my smartphone, was not my best friend at this event. So the first day, and I don't think I mentioned it to you, so that's the first time, Daphne and Gina, that you find out about it. I had an issue with my charger. So the charger that I came there with didn't work. And luckily, the hotel owners gave me a spare one, which I could use. And I thought, phew, I'm safe. The second day, my mobile data decided not to work at all. There was no way that it would work. The issue, though, is that the Wi-Fi at the arena was not strong. So at some point, I thought, what am I going to do? I'm like a skater coming to an event with a skate broken. I cannot operate as media. And then I thought, okay, calm down. There is a way out. And I ended up hotspotting from other journalists that were there. So there was a way around it. I could maybe not do things by the minute as they were happening. But, you know, it's something that we had to deal with, and still I managed to do all the posting that I wanted to do. But I thought, okay, next time I'm definitely going to come with a backup if I can. I don't want to go through the same stress again.
You wouldn't know. I mean, you did a really good job with the coverage anyway. I don't think anyone noticed, so props you.
No.
You give yourself a gold medal for dealing with that.
Mateo, I've done things before. I have gone to competitions without memory cards, without a card reader, and missing parts of equipment. And it sucks. But the cool thing is that there are other media folks that are willing to help you out, or there are just resources there that make it so that you can do what you need to do.
Yeah.
Right. Well, should we get started talking about the men? All right. Well, first thing, too, Team USA won gold in 3 of 4 disciplines for the first time in history. So that was good for U.S. figure skating and all of the U.S. athletes. That was something that, you know, well, like to mention. But we'll start with the men. Ilya Malinin won his second straight Grand Prix final gold, though he finished second to Yuma Kageyama in the free skate. Now, we did get to see the quad axel for the first time this season, but it did receive a Q. And he attempted to make history by trying all 6 different quad jumps in his free skate, but all of them were either under-rotated or a quarter under-rotated. 2 new costumes for Ilya as well. So, yeah, not his best skate, especially in the free skate, but still won his second straight Grand Prix final title. Yuma Kageyama won the silver medal, moving up from 1 spot from last year. And he won the free skate even though he popped his quad Salchow into a double. And he had fallen on the same quad in his short program. And it's unusual because it's his best jump and possibly the best quad Salchow. He probably has like the best quad Salchow in the world. So just a little unusual thing that happened for Yuma. Shun Sato, who I just want to say we accidentally forgot to mention him last week when we did our preview. And maybe that was a good omen because Shun Sato won the bronze medal, pulling up from 4th place after the short program. And the last time we didn't mention a skater during a preview, they ended up medaling. So maybe sometimes we'll just pick a skater and randomly not mention them and see what happens. And this is the case here. We forgot about Shun Sato in our preview, and he here wins the bronze medal. Mikhail Shuradonov completed the first ever triple axel Euler quad Salchow in his free skate. Earlier this season, he was the first person to ever do a triple axel quad toe. He finished in 5th place, but that jump was very impressive because you really have no speed as you're going into that last jump, and you're doing 4 revolutions. So that's crazy what he's been able to pull off. So Mateo, your thoughts maybe on the men since you were there?
So it was really interesting, of course, and it's great that the event closed with that competition because it was quite exciting and you couldn't really take anything for granted. I think when it comes to Ilya, you know, history making with all the quads that he attempted, and it's quite funny because at the press conference he said something around the lines of, this was a test program to see what I can improve. And I thought, oh, so the Grand Prix final was a test skate for you, right? But, okay. And he said that he will consider trying the triple axel and quadruple jump combination as Shaidarov has been doing. So, I mean, if he can add that to his portfolio, I think he will be virtually unbeatable, but let's see, because this guy has got so much potential. You can definitely see that it comes with a stardom, you know, aura around himself, because the audience now know exactly who he is. They come there to see him. They know what to expect from him. So you can definitely get the energy and the atmosphere in the arena when he skates. But yeah, I mean, he had a really good Grand Prix final, and despite all the fact that it wasn't perfect, he still won his gold, and he again made history. Yuma, I think Yuma, you know, personally, I quite like him a lot with his skating, and he seems to be getting better and better. The way he interpreted his free program, particularly, was very delightful. Very, you know, if you look at how he hits every note with different parts of his body, is fantastic. He's very much with the music, and I think that goes back to his work that he's doing with Carolina Kostner, which he said that not only is helping him from a skills perspective, but is also helping him from an emotional perspective to deal with the pressures of, you know, of being at the top of his game and having to continually prove himself with the Olympics being around the corner next season. And it's interesting because he knows that a competition with Ilya is a very strong competition. And he said he still has a lot of work to do, and he's still quite a long way away from him, but he's got to continue working. So he's not giving up. And I think probably having Ilya as a competition is quite a good push for him to keep working and improving himself. And what was funny though, you know, Japan had a lot of medals. They had two Japanese men on the podium here. And it's interesting because what Yuma said, I'm definitely looking forward now to compete at Worlds if I qualify at Japanese nationals. Because Japanese nationals, I think across the board, particularly in single men, women in both senior and junior, are going to be extremely interesting with all the talent that there is in Japan at the moment. So even someone like Yuma Kageyama himself does not take it for granted that he will make the national team, because anything could happen. Although I doubt that the Japanese Federation would not want him to go there, but we'll see. And finally, Shun Sato, actually I'm admitted that he set the goal to be on the podium. So he said he was very happy with the result. And yeah, you could definitely see that with him. I think we also need to mention Kevin Amos, which probably didn't have the skates that he was hoping for, but he said it was extremely emotional to skate in Grenoble, where he actually grew up in. And he actually, I think, went as far as saying that this was probably one of the best competitions that he had in his entire career because of the emotional impact that it had on him. So that was something that he could definitely feel. And the audience there loved him. I don't know whether he had many friends and family there, because he spent so much time in Grenoble, but it was very nice to see him, you know, despite of not getting the results that he was probably hoping for, to still be very happy to skate there.
All right, well, we'll move on to the women. Now, the women's short program, that was kind of a messy event. No one skating a clean program, and Amber Glenn and Monet Chiba were the clear top two and were separated by less than a point, with Amber being the top skater ahead of all the other Japanese women, because as we said, it was the Japanese nationals and Amber Glenn. And then Kaori Sakamoto had mistakes on two of her jumping passes and was in fourth after the short program. It was kind of reminding me a little bit of Worlds when she was in that same position after the short program, and then came back to win the title. In the free skate, Amber put together one of her steadiest performances and captured the first Grand Prix final gold by an American woman since Alyssa Cisney in 2010. She is also undefeated so far this season. Now, here's another interesting fact. Amber is also the third U.S. woman in history to go undefeated on the Grand Prix Series and at the Grand Prix Final in the same season. And the other two are Michelle Kwan and Sasha Cohen. After her skate, there was a cute moment when the camera flashed backstage to Monet Chiba and Kaori Sakamoto and Wakaba Higuchi, the kind of green room setup. Mm. And they all did Amber's ending pose, which was really cool. And it really showed the camaraderie of the women in this event. There was a lot of support, not just the Japanese women amongst the other Japanese women, but it was just within all of the women in the women's event, which was great to see. Monet Chiba captured the silver medal, her third silver on the Grand Prix this season. Now, again, like Worlds, Kaori pulled up from fourth. She didn't win the title, but she won the bronze medal. And this is only her second medal at the Grand Prix final, which is very hard to believe, you know, because
it is.
She's been competing so long, we think she has more medals at the final than this, you know, only having two. Mm. So that was a little bit about the women's event. Matteo, I'm going to throw it to you. What were your thoughts?
I'm actually going to start from Kaori because I think everyone was expecting her to shine and she showed that she's a human being. So she skated the way she skated. She still made it to the podium, which I think is great. And that shows how strong she is mentally. But she admitted that she could have done better, of course. And she is quite aware that the competition, as I said before, for the men, a Japanese national would be very strong. If you think about it, we were joking about it. The women's event is almost like Japanese nationals with five Japanese women and Amber Glenn. Although Amber Glenn managed to lead the event and win, but the competition was very strong. Anything could have happened from any of the Japanese women there. So, yeah, it's a very tough field to be competing in and having to be at the top of your game in. But both she and Mone, you know, did what they had to do to earn the medals, and they definitely earned what they got at the end. During the press conference, we were actually, the host of the press conference joked about the fact that they said, would you like to have Amber Glenn at your nationals? Because as we said, you know, Japanese nationals and Amber Glenn, so she has to go to Japanese nationals this year. and you can see both skaters going like, yeah, it's fine. It would be really nice to have her there. There's a strong competition, but I thought, leave it to them. It would be nice to see what happens there. And Amber, yeah, she. I feel like, you know, we keep thinking that Amber needs to have that consistency that she needs to build on and maintain throughout the season. In the past, she started strong and then kind of flattened, or even unfortunately went down a tangent that was not really good. Well, now it seems like she's really fighting. She actually admitted that she was very strong. She said at the free program, she went there to basically, you know, do what she had to do. So she got in, she was very focused. She wanted to demonstrate the skills that she possesses. But what she wants to do in the future, now that she knows that she can do it, is to also show the enjoyment and the passion that she's got for the programs that she's skating on. And then we also talked about the fact that she mentioned that she started neurotherapy, which is something that is really helping her to deal with the way she skates. And she's also, I think, getting a bit of mental help out of it, as in the connection that she gets with her body being strong again and able to be managing the pain potentially from the sport. You know, it's quite an intensive sport, so that neurotherapy that she's doing is really helping her. And she shared a couple of things as well that were quite relating to Amber the person. So as we know, she's extremely popular, she's super loved. So the first thing that we talked about was that she is almost like a mum in the community that she skates in and in general. So she said that she would always make sure that she's got snacks for the skaters, and she would talk to people, and she would encourage them to talk to her because she is normally the oldest at the rink. And she had mental health issues that she had to deal with. So she's got experience. And if anyone wants to get to have a word with her to share how they're feeling, she's always open to listening to skaters, which is showing how great a person she is. She's really, you know, she's gold medal from the skating, but also from a personal point of view. She's extremely friendly, extremely open, and that's what makes her very popular, I guess, because people can see that. And the other thing that she said as well is that her coach calls her the calm beast. So before getting into the eyes, because she's got to be calm, but she has to have the power to skate as she skates. So that's why she becomes a calm beast, which is very interesting.
I like that.
Yeah.
I think I'm probably going to try to tell myself before very tough work meetings, be a calm beast like Amber. You can do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we will move on to the pairs, and Germany's Minerva Fabian Hasse and Nikita Volodin won their second straight Grand Prix final with just a couple bobbles in their free skate. Riku Mura and Ryuichi Kiara were virtually tied with Hase and Volodin after the short program, but they had mistakes on both rows and also on the side-by-side triple-toe double-axle sequence. They held on to the silver medal by 1 point over Georgia's Anastasia Melikina and Luca Bruvola, who took the bronze medal. And then one thing we also would like to mention is Ellie Cam and Danny O'Shea did some of their best throws of their career in the free skate, and they finished fifth in their Grand Prix final debut. So I'm gonna pass it on to you, Matteo. Let's talk about the pairs event.
I think this event
happened a while ago because it was the first one to end. And I just want to say before we continue on about pairs, I don't know what you thought of the schedule, but I'm not a fan of the jumping from senior to junior. It was just so like, I had to remember to go from YouTube to Peacock and back to YouTube. I would just prefer they do all the junior and then all of the senior. But whatever, it just was just this bouncing around because the senior pairs event finished before half of the junior events even finished.
That's very interesting because I didn't know that you had to switch there. I suppose there's... On our side of the world, or in the UK at least, when I'm not going to competitions, you can watch the events on YouTube and you can easily switch from one to the other. I didn't know that you had to go to different platforms, but you are right, because previous Grand Prix finals I've been to, it was a chunk of juniors and then a chunk of senior, and then you repeat the same thing the next day. So it was kind of almost having two competitions on the same day, it was differently organized. I wonder whether maybe they did that this time around to try to engage the audiences to watch the juniors as well, because maybe the risk that they have is that if you do the juniors all together, not maybe being, as popular as the senior, maybe they would get less audience. And I have to say that, despite of the issues that you had to follow everything, over there I feel like the public gave equal love and affections to the junior as much as the senior. So from that point of view, it worked well. But yeah, something to keep in mind.
And that's only an issue for us over in the US that had to switch from Peacock to YouTube, because I'm guessing a lot of people were able to watch everything on YouTube if they are in other parts of, in Europe or in Japan. But for us in the U.S., with Peacock being the host network, you had to watch the senior on Peacock and then junior on YouTube.
Yeah.
But now, Matt, back to the pairs. I went off a little bit just because I
it's a good point.
Said that the pairs event felt like it happened a couple days ago, which it did, because it was one of the first ones to wrap up.
And as you said, we had Minerva, Fabian Hasse, and Nikita Volodin winning their second gold, which I think makes them the fifth skaters to win 2 years in a row. They shared that they entered the competition. They were trying not to have too much expectations about their placement, and they felt a bit nervous. And I think we could see that in some parts of their programs. But again, they're skaters that, although they're a fresh partnership, they get on the ice and they deliver from a technical point of view. They particularly said that when it comes to the free skate, they gained a lot of confidence in the first half of the competition and the program, and they want to continue maintaining that. So they still feel that there's a lot of room for them to grow. And I think it's probably quite easy to say that they're eyeing a European title and they're eyeing an even higher world placement than the one that it had in March in Montreal. So we'll see what they're going to deliver this year. I feel like there's Vivaldi Free Program is up their sleeves. They skated quite well, and it's a music that I think will grow for them and a program that will grow with them throughout the rest of the season. So quite looking forward to see where they get to with it. Riku, Miura, and Yuchi Kiara, probably the strongest or the most experienced at the event, but they, you know, they were quite pleased actually that they could be there because they had injuries dealing that they both had to deal with at different times. So I feel they were probably hoping for more, but they're still happy to have gotten a silver medal. And hopefully we'll see them coming back with strong physical health and also more confidence to deliver what they deliver. They remain the faster skaters out there, and they got some quality that is second to none. And hopefully, yeah, we'll see them coming back to the strength that we're getting used to. And I'm pretty sure they're here. They'll be here to impress. And let's see, what the future is going to hold for them. Anastasia Metelkina and Luca Brulava made history for Georgia with that medal. At Skate America, they made a few mistakes, but actually when they get to Japan, they achieved what they were hoping to do, to deliver at a competition, and that gave them a lot of confidence. So they then got to the final feeling quite strong, and hopefully, you know, that paid back because they got the bronze medal. And considering that they're quite young as well, and they're such a strong team, I think they will have more to see. And I have a feeling that probably the European title this year is going to be a fight between Georgia and Germany. So we'll see what that event is going to turn out like. Let's not forget though that two of the six teams there were from Italy. Sarah Conti, Nicolò Machi, and Rebecca Ghilardi and Filippo Morosini. Both of them did not get a medal. Conti and Machi went fourth, and they skated quite well, but they had a few mistakes here and there that when you're competing against such strong technical teams, you have to avoid, because otherwise you're going to pay the price, of course. And Ghilardi and Brosini were called last minute to replace Tiana Salato-Tudek and Maxime Duchamp, which had to pull out. So, you know, it was great for them to be at their third consecutive Grand Prix final. And as you said, Ellie and Danny, they had really good skates. I think they were quite enjoyable, actually, to watch. So I'm really pleased to have had a chance to see them there. And I hope that they will capitalize from their attendance to the Grand Prix final.
So moving on to the ice dance, a bit of chaos. Not in the final results, although maybe a little. Piper Gillis and Paul Poirier had a fall during their pattern step in the rhythm dance. Paul, his boot blade hit the boards and he went down. And that dropped them completely out of medal contention. They skated much better in the free dance and were second in the free, which is much more of what we know they're capable of. You know, things happen. The ice is slippery. It's how things go. Madison Chalk and Evan Bates collected their second consecutive Grand Prix final gold medal. They also tied the record for the most Grand Prix final medals by any ice dance team with 6. The other teams that they tied with are Meryl Davis and Charlie White, Tessa Virtue and Scott Moyer, and Marina Anasina and Gwendol Paserup. So, skating next season, if they qualify for the final and make it, they will, and get a medal, they will be all on their own in the medals. I liked the changes that they made to the rhythm dance. It just, again, I feel like these slight music changes, trimming things down. They probably could trim another song out, but I think it actually flows a lot better with a lot less in there. And I'm anxious to find out what they think about that, like by cutting out these songs, if it's actually making a difference to them, you know, what their thoughts are on that. They were 13 points ahead of second place, got season's best scores in both the rhythm and the free dance. Charlene Guignard and Michael Fabry won the silver medal. They won the silver medal last year. They were second in the rhythm dance, but third in the free because Piper and Paul had a higher free dance score. Then Charlene and Marco were less than a point overall ahead of the bronze medalists, which were Lila Fear and Lewis Gibson. First Grand Prix final medal for Fear and Gibson. They had a little bit of an issue on the twizzle and the rhythm dance. Very close, closer than I've seen it between these two teams. I mean, this season, we've seen it get closer, but I feel like after the rhythm dance, it was insanely close. Again, less than a point difference. But Lila and Lewis secured their first Grand Prix final medal. In the free dance, though, I wanted to point out something. So Madison and Evan won the free dance with 132.12, followed by Piper Gillis, Paul Poirier, 127.12. Gillis and Poirier's performance was much better than the rhythm dance, but still not up to what I know that, and we all know that they can skate in the free dance. So it's going to get even more interesting for continents. If all the teams show up, we'll see. But what I did want to point out is that three teams, Charlene Guignard, Marco Fabbri, Lila Fear and Lewis Gibson, and Marjorie Lajoie and Zachary Lacat, all scored 122 point something. They were all within like 0.8 of each other. That I have not seen from teams. That was very, very, very close. Again, we're about midway point through the season. There's still time for adjustments to be made. I'm interested in seeing where this goes next. Marjorie and Zach ended up ahead of Piper and Paul for the first time in their careers by like 0.6 or 0.57 or something like that. It was very, very close. So that was a first for them, for Marjorie and Zach to be ahead of them in the standings. So Lajoie and Laga finished fourth overall, fifth in the free dance. And then I have to mention Evgenia Lapareva and Jeffrey Brissot. They have two of the programs that I'm most interested in watching this season. And I think that this is their first final. It's definitely going to be, you know, probably a bundle of nerves skating at home. But, you know, what a great way to get to celebrate being at your first final by being in your home country and getting to be there with all of the supportive audience and the fans.
Yeah, they definitely felt that, I'm sure. It was it was insane when they were on the ice. And I suppose there was a little bit of tension for them while they were skating, but hopefully good tension to then be released at the end when they received the big cheer from the audience. I agree with everything you said. I think it was a big shame for Piper and Paul, as we know, because we want to see them fighting for a medal. They had what it takes, and that mistake was not nice. I wonder whether there was a bit of jet lag they played into that. I mean, they're quite experienced, so it's quite difficult to say exactly why a mistake like that happened. So it's difficult to understand why a mistake like that happened, but hopefully it was just one of. I think it's interesting to point out something as well, something else as well. So you talked about Lajoie and Laga and Fia Gibson and Guignard Fabbri all at the same level. However, I want to share that when it comes to Marco Fabbri and Charlene Guignard, there was something that Marco shared. So he shared that he went through a couple of months that were a bit rough, particularly mentally. And I'm really glad that even a senior skater like him, and I'm sorry to point out that he's senior, but we know what we mean. They are the oldest skaters out there. They have the strength of opening up because that's quite important. And I wonder whether that's an indication of why we've seen this strong team that has always been very technical, very precise as well, making mistakes in so many competitions now, in currently two, if not three events where they didn't skate at their best. If, you know, what he said is true and he's hopefully getting back to you know, his good state of mind, then we'll probably see them jumping back to a very strong position, which is what I'm hope and I'm wishing them. I feel like what I really love there and I want to share is also that when Marco shared that, it was at the press conference, and the entire the other two teams there, Madison, Ava, and Lyle and Lewis, they all gave him a little clapping of hands and a little cheer. And that's showing how, despite of the fact that they're competitors, they're actually human beings. They are potentially friends as well. I mean, we don't know what we don't see outside of the ice rink, but it was very nice to see that there is such a support between the skaters. It's very healthy to see competitions being taking place this way. So yeah, good luck to Marco, and hopefully we'll be back to full strength very soon. Lyle and Lewis, needless to say, they were really happy to have made history for Great Britain, and they'll continue working towards their objectives. I'm pretty sure, again, I mentioned European Championship for the pairs event. I think the European Championship for the ice dance will be equally interesting, with, again, another fight between Guignard Fabry and Fia Gibson for the gold and silver spots. And I wonder whether Lopareva Brisso are in contention for the bronze medal this year, given their results. We'll see. Maddie and Evan, they skated really well. They were confident. They were very focused. They were in the zone. So I think that they went there with a mission. They accomplished the mission, and they will continue for the rest of the season. So let's see. It's going to be, again, another interesting season. It looks like currently they are leading towards another world title, but we know we can never take anything for granted in this sport. So let's see. It will be very interesting.
Definitely not. If you look at this season and how things have been, definitely. There have just been lots of little surprises. And, you know, kudos to Marco for speaking out. It seems like athletes are getting more comfortable with talking about their mental health and emotional well-being. And I think that's incredibly important. It goes a long way towards normalizing discussing it out in public. And I think that having the Olympics be in your home country next season definitely has to be something that, I mean, that's a lot to deal with. That's a lot to, you know, take on yourself and think about, as you know that you are in the medal hunt. It's a lot of pressure to be under, and it's just only going to get more intense. And then, as you said, Charlene and Marco are the oldest, I believe, of all the ice dancers in a sport where the skaters used to retire by 28, and they're in their mid-30s now. So it's definitely, like, shifting. I don't know if this trend is something that's going to continue, where skaters stay later in the sport in ice dance. But I guess we'll see, because the three top teams that we've seen, Guignard, Fabry, Chalk and Bates, and Gillis and Poirier, are all over 30 and still going strong. So, you know, I guess we'll see.
And Lewis Gibson is also 30 years of age as of this year. So there were 7 events, 30 plus.
Oh my goodness.
But actually, talking about age, Madison and Evan are officially the oldest winners of a Grand Prix final medal, I think, gold medal, if I remember the stat well. Certainly in ice dance, if not overall, at a Grand Prix final.
Okay, yeah. That's quite a benchmark. Well, I think that we have covered the senior events, so we should probably move on to junior.
All right, well, we'll start with the junior men. Jacob Sanchez became the first American man to capture gold since Alexei Krajicin in 2017. Boy, that name. Haven't heard from him in a while because he has retired from skating. But Jacob started off his free skate a little tentatively, but gained confidence as the program went on. He's won every event he's entered this season and was so emotional in the kiss and cry when that score came up. I don't know if he was expecting to win. I know he was hoping to just have his best skates and possibly win a medal, but he took home the title. Minkyu So, who is the reigning world junior champion, captured the silver medal, coming back from fifth in the short program to win the free skate. Nice to see him pull up. His Singing in the Rain program is a fun program. And so, you know, again, we always say just because you have a disappointing short program doesn't mean you're out of the mix for winning a medal. Now, Japan's Ryo Nakata had a very slight lead over Jacob Sanchez after the short program, but he finished in third with the bronze medal. He had won the final last year. He was the reigning Junior Grand Prix final champion, and so unfortunately did not defend his title and had to settle for the bronze medal in Grenoble.
Now, if you take these in with Jacob's gold, actually Team USA walks away from the Grand Prix final with four gold medals, three from the senior and one from the junior. So fantastic results for Team USA. But yeah, he, as you said, he was very emotional. He's such a nice guy as well. He's always smiley, and you really feel like you want to be happy for him and you wish him the best because he's so pleasant and so nice. But of course, you know, his skates were great. He shared that he was not expecting the outcome from this event, so he was extremely happy for what happened. He's definitely going to now work on his aspirations to make it to the senior team this year and next year. So he's got big objectives to work towards. And, you know, I don't think that we've seen skaters that were juniors in America and also taking up, you know, the senior field. Alyssa Liu is one of them as an example. So never say never. Let's see what it can do. It's interesting because it's got a very strong friendship with Ryo Nakata. So they mentioned a couple of things. Initially, they were asked, how did you guys get to know each other and become friends? And Ryo said, oh, yeah, when we went to the Junior Grand Prix in Thailand, after the event, we played in the pool together. And then my friends made me a Snapchat account, and Jacob and I became friends there, and we kept in touch. And then Ryo gave Jacob his necklace from winning last year. And Jacob, you know, kept it, and someone was saying probably that's a, you know, a good luck charm that you're keeping with you. So it was quite sweet actually to hear that. But yeah, Ryo, on the contrary, unfortunately didn't have, I think, the skate that he was hoping for, and he was very disappointed. I think he was almost trying to hold his tears in during the press conference. But again, it's something that he will hopefully reflect and just think about the result that he still achieved, which is quite important. And Minkyu, on the contrary, said that he was very happy to have a clean program as a free program, and it was very difficult at the same time, but he was still happy with the result. So yeah, that was overall interesting and very exciting, because you never know what to expect at this kind of events. It was a bit of a shame for Kaspar Klavik to have dropped from third to last, but again, that's the way things are. This competition didn't go well. He's got potential, so surely we'll do really good things in the future, and that's the sport.
But I don't know if he mentioned it in any like mix zone, but his right skate blade broke during the morning practice. And so he had to switch to a new blade for the free skate. So I'm sure that had played a role in the fact that he dropped to last after being in third after the short program. I'm always thinking of Katie McBeath in the broken blade situation.
Yeah.
But, you know, it happens. And so, yeah, unfortunate there for him. Well, moving on to the women, the Japanese women continued their domination this season. It was a Japanese sweep in the junior women's event for the first time. I guess this is the first time this has happened. And I loved seeing the medal ceremony of the three girls that took home medals in Grenoble, because it seemed like we talked about that camaraderie in the senior women. I saw it in also the junior women's event. Mao Shimada was the winner for the third year in a row. She hasn't lost a competition at the junior level since November of 2020.
Oh my goodness.
And she still can't move up to senior. It's so crazy.
Nope.
So, yes, another title for Mao. Kaoruko Wada won the silver medal, and Ami Nakai won bronze after finishing fourth in the short program. She finished fifth at last year's final, so much improved here. But yeah, I was really liking, you know, how the women were in this event, definitely showing the camaraderie between them. And then they were showing the three watching the senior women. They were sitting next to each other up in the stands. So, yeah, it was really cool. But all right, I'm going to pass it on. Mateo, what did you think of the junior women's event?
Well, then again, another interesting event. And as I said already quite a few times, Japanese nationals are going to be very interesting. Mao Shimada seems to be still very strong, because even despite of the mistakes, she still got a margin to win from second and the rest of the field there. But she was definitely, you know, on one side, she was very happy to be on that side of history and be the part of this big win for Japan, the first time that in history that all medals are Japanese at the Junior Grand Prix. So she was happy to be there in that moment, but she knew that she could have skated much better, and I'm pretty sure that she will go away and keep working to avoid a result like this. Still great though that she had three consecutive wins, and as you said, she's been undefeated since 2020, which is crazy to think about. Kaoruko, again, she was very happy because it was the first time to be in a Grand Prix final, so she felt very happy with the result, and she said that the other skaters really helped her, so she was really pleased with that. And lastly, Ami Nakai, she was on the first time for the first time on the podium at a Grand Prix final, and she was really glad to be there with other two skaters that she admires. So overall, you know, as we said, it's quite a lot of camaraderie, and even if the result for Mao was not what she was hoping for, she was still happy, and I'm pretty sure that the three of them celebrated their podium finish.
So let's go ahead and talk about the pairs. Xie Xuan Zheng and Yihang Huang won gold by about 20 points, if you can imagine. They are a new team this season, and they have won all of their competitions so far. Olivia Flores and Luke Wang of the U.S. won the silver medal, besting their fifth-place finish from last year. They posted a season's best score in their emotional Lion King free skate. And then taking the bronze, Canada's Jasmine DeRocher and Kieran Thrasher. That's their second straight bronze at the final.
And I just want to say one thing, too. The last time a Chinese pair claimed an ISU Junior Grand Prix title in Paris was in 2013. So this is 11 years later. Now China is back on the podium, which is good because we know China in pairs has always had this rich history, and so it's been a little bit, and now it looks like we've got some new teams kind of coming up in China. So yeah, so I wanted to just point out that one little stat.
I have to say that was Yu and Jin, and I loved them as a team together. I thought they were great.
And the thing, so with Zhang and Huang, is that they're very young, but they're very focused, and they know where they are, where they come from, the tradition from their country when it comes to pair skating. So they felt, they shared that they were honored to participate at a Grand Prix final, but they want to work harder in the future, and they want to do their best and keep improving in every competition. They want to keep improving their jumps, their element difficulties, and the presentation. So they know that, you know, though they are currently the top there because they won the Grand Prix final, they still want to, there is still a lot of room for improvement for them, and they will keep working towards that. So it was very interesting to see that kind of commitment to do that. Olivia and Luke, yeah, they were very happy, of course. They said that last year it was the first Grand Prix final, so it was a very new experience. But this year they took the learnings from last year and he paid back, because particularly in the free program, they were so confident, they delivered a very strong skate, and they were definitely very happy. They actually shared that they their role models are Danny Ocean and Ellie Kim. They find them really inspiring, and they always feel like they're extremely supportive. And particularly when it comes to Danny, he is always very smiley, and they really enjoy that kind of positive attitude that he brings when they skate. And lastly, Yasmin and Kieran, they were also happy to be there. They, in terms of their idols and inspirations, they share that they train with Riku and Yuchi, so they find them really inspiring and they're learning a lot from them. And, you know, as much as Olivia and Luke, they said that last year was a learning step for them, and they are grateful to be a bronze medal this year. Just a little note in relation to Yasmin's hair do. She had the hairstyle that Madison Chalk first brought to the eyes in the 2019-2020 season when she did the snake charming dance. And it's a style that we were thinking about, and it's been copied, if you think about it, because Laurence Fournier-Baudry had the same, I think, last year, if I remember well. And now we see another skater doing the same hairstyle. So there is a trend being set there.
Well, moving on to the dance, Noemi, Maria Talley, Noah Lafanera earned a personal best in the free dance and total score. They took the gold medal. They've been undefeated this season. Again, this is a team that got to stay junior because of the age change. And you shouldn't underestimate an extra year of development potential at a level that is so crucial to the overall, if you look at the trajectory of a team and what their capabilities are for growth. It's definitely doing them a lot of good and preparing them for next season when they go to the senior ranks, which is going to be a very wild time for them, because the chances of Italy having multiple spots at the Olympics in dance is very good. This is the first junior Grand Prix final gold medal in ice dance for Italy in 27 years. I am so much of a nerd that I knew that that was Federica Faiella and Luciano Mielo. Yeah. So I'm that much of a nerd that I knew that. Faiella, of course, had much more success with Massimo Scali in her senior career. But yeah, because this was just about the time I was starting to think about, should I create icedance.com? And I was following a lot of the junior stuff. Katerina Wolf-Kosten, Dmitry Serevsky captured the silver medal with a passionate performance of their Moulin Rouge free dance. They were about 5 points off the leaders. Daria Grimm and Mikhail Savitsky of Germany won the bronze medal. This is their second bronze in a row at the final. Even though I'm not sure if they were hoping to move up on the podium, but given this season, they've been really dealing with this coaching change where they're trying to figure out where they're going to be training. And I think it's a great result for a team that's going through that much of a change, because a coaching team is coaches are a big part of the team. And I think sometimes it can be underestimated how much making that change can affect your results or how you're skating, because you're adjusting to that. But I know they're going between or working with two different sets of coaches right now. The other thing I wanted to mention, Eliana Peel and Ethan Peel, they have a free dance set to the music from Pearl Harbor, and they actually skated their free dance on the anniversary of D-Day, which is pretty symbolic.
Yeah, absolutely. That must have been quite moving, actually, for those knowing, what you just mentioned. Just going back to the top, Daria Mikhail, as you said, they just changed coaching team. They said that they just had something that didn't work out anymore with their old coaching team. So they were training between Maurizio Margaglio School in Helsinki and Matteo Zani School in Enya. And they will decide by the end of the year where they're going to base themselves. They went there with Matteo Zani, so I don't know whether that's an indication of which direction they're taking now, but we'll see. when it's officialized in a force, they actually delivered a really good skate. Katarina and Dimitri, again, they also had a very confident skate. They actually shared that they love to watch the senior competitions and get inspired by the senior skaters there. And actually, thinking about it, there were quite a lot of junior skaters that were watching the senior, because what better event than the Grand Prix final to do this and be there with those that you take inspiration from and admire. And Noemi Talia and Noa Lafornara, wow. First time that I was seeing them live, they are so beautiful. I think there's something to do with quite a lot of things that they bring together, and thinking that they've been together for a year and a half, they're a very new partnership still, but mm-hmm. they're so strong. You rightly so mentioned senior is just there for them next year, and it's the Olympic year in Italy, in Milan, where they train for part of the year, and where Noemi's from. They're so beautiful. There's something about the way they present themselves as well that is very classy. So I see a lot of potential there, and it's definitely a team that we need to keep an eye on. And you know, if you think about the junior teams in the ice dance that we've seen moving to senior recently, the Mrazek, Koreans, Lim Kwan, and even, you know, the British, Becker and Hernandez, they already bring so much potential. So I think that what we're witnessing now, you know, as always, is the future of ice dance. You know, at some point, the veterans that we keep mentioning and reminding that the age of will retire, there will be a set of skaters that will be there finally hoping to get a chance to medal. But there will be new junior teams that will be just behind them, pushing them so much to step into their field. And I think that this event, the Ice Dance Junior event at the Grand Prix Final, was probably one of the most exciting ones out of all the events.
Yeah, I'm very excited about the future of ice dance. There are just so many really fun and interesting teams. And I hope that these teams will keep their quirkiness as they go into senior, because it helps set them apart from some of the more mature teams that are there. I think, yeah, there's a lot of potential for that. And yeah, I think the next season is going to be quite exciting. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that we have made it through the Grand Prix Finals. So let's update our audience on what else happened last week, which was Golden Spin of Zagreb, the final Challenger Series event of the season. Mateo, why don't you kick it off?
Yeah,
for
in
us?
The men, the brothers Mikhail and Alexander Selemsko took first and second. So well done for them to be both on the podium. And in bronze medal position, we had Francois Pitot. So yeah, a very Estonian heavy podium, let's say.
Well, in the women's event, Alyssa Liu won her second challenger event of the season after her gold at Budapest Trophy. She was in second place after the short program by only 0.26 points. Belgium's Nina Pinzeroni won the silver medal, pulling up from third after the short. And Brady Tennell won the bronze. She was in first after the short, but had a fall on her triple loop and a number of issues on other jumps. But two U.S. women on the podium. And if I haven't said it before, the women's event at U.S. Nationals is going to be an exciting one for sure, because Alyssa and Brady and Amber, and we don't know about Isabeau. There's a lot of women going to be competing for those three spots for Worlds. So
in the pairs, Julia Cecchettinina and Michael Wozniak took first place, and it's their first Challenger Series medal. Emily Chan and Spersen all were in silver medal position, and Audrey Sheen and Palaz Nagy won the bronze medal in their first competition together. They earned a minimum technical score needed for four continents, but fell just short of the world's minimum.
In ice dance, Phoebe Becker and James Hernandez won their first challenger event, a gold medal, and earned a personal best total score. Diana Davis and Gleb Smolkin won silver by less than half a point over Germans Jennifer Jans van Rensburg and Benjamin Steffen. And Team USA's Leah Nesset and Artem Markelov finished fourth. We will have results from Danish nationals, Norwegian nationals, Latvian nationals, all in our show notes.
Well, moving on to general skating news, there was some big news that happened last week. Gabriela Papadakis and Guillaume Cizeron officially announced their retirement from competitive skating. Now, it was announced in a press release on December 3rd. Their statement read, "We could not have dreamed of a more beautiful career. We owe this career to our coaches, parents, federation, choreographers, physical and mental coaches, costume designers, agents, psychotherapists, doctors, supporters, journalists, without whom we would have never reached the highest level of our art. It is with immense gratitude that we decide to turn the page. A huge thank you to our public for the pleasure shared with us on the ice. We take away wonderful memories." And there was a lot of articles after this press release came out, and we will have that in our show notes. Most of us not surprised by this announcement, but still, it's always hard when such a team that has been beloved by fans announces that they're, you know, moving on. But what a career they had, and I know so many French ice dance teams are just kind of following in their footsteps or hoping to follow in their footsteps. Mm. So they have definitely paved the way for other French ice dance teams.
Sui Wenjing announced she has a new partner, Li Zhen, and will try to make the 2026 Olympic team. I'm smiling because she's such a fighter. And I'm seeing an Aliona Sachenko type of moment here, isn't it? So glad to see it, to hear this. And I'm looking forward to see what she can do coming back to competitions.
Sui and Han had such a storied, beautiful career, capped off with an Olympic gold medal. And they were around forever because they achieved so much at the junior level. And because we're paying so much more attention to what's going on at the junior level, it just made it seem like they were just here for decades when it was not as long as what it seemed like. So Mariah Bell and Ava Pate and Logan Bai and the American Ice Theater will be performing at Skate to Eliminate Cancer Cleveland at the Cleveland Foundation Ice Skating Rink in Public Square on December 12th. More information can be found on the Skate to Eliminate Cancer website.
Well, Ava Pate and Logan Bai will also be appearing in Creative Ice Theater's Nutcracker on Ice at the Seven Bridges Ice Arena in Wood Ridge, Illinois. And tickets to that show can be purchased online, and that link will be in our show notes.
Moving on to recent interviews and articles, we'd like to flag Phil Hirsch's article on Amber Glenn's decade-long journey to the Grand Prix final. You will find a link to this article and many more articles and videos published recently in our show notes.
Moving on to social media updates, Israeli ice dancers Maria Nosovitskaya and Misha Nosovitsky announced the end of their partnership on Instagram. Misha has indicated that he will be looking for a new partner.
Well, Yi Kwan shared on Instagram that he has received Korean citizenship, so congratulations to Yi Kwan. And we have some more citizenship news. Philippine Skating shared on Instagram that Alexander Korovin has received his citizenship. So congrats to these skaters who are getting their citizenships. And we might be hearing that another skater is close to getting their citizenship as well. So these are great as we get closer to the Olympics.
Moving on to upcoming events for the week. Santa Claus Cup for synchronized skating. Yes, it's synchro season. Is going to be taking place from December 13th through the 15th. Skyliners, Team Elite, Team Marigold, and Team Unique are all competing in that competition. This is for senior and junior. We will be on break, as we mentioned before, and so there are a bunch of competitions taking place, mostly nationals, for Austria, Spain, Sweden. Four nationals, which includes Czech Republic, Slovakia, Poland, and Hungary. Switzerland, Finland, Estonia, Germany, Italy, Bulgaria, Japan, France, and Croatia, as well as the Sarajevo Open. So tons of events coming up, and we will have links to that in our show notes. You know that we like to end every episode, and this is a supersized episode of This Week in Skating.
Well, it's our last weekly episode of 2024, so might as well be supersized.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, and
we like to end it by letting you know what's going on at our respective websites and at This Week in Skating.
So don't forget to keep an eye on our social media of This Week in Skating. You will see the post that I had from the Grand Prix final. So a few photos from the press conference and some of the skaters there. And keep an eye on what we're going to post as well, because this might be the last weekly episode of the year. But there might be more episodes coming out. No spoilers. Yes. Also, don't forget to check our merchandise available on our webpage. And if you want, you can join our Patreon for access to ad-free episodes.
Over at IDC, I have photos from Golden Spin of Zagreb, plus the Grand Prix Final. I have Mateo's Grand Prix Final recap, as well as if you check our social media for IDC, you'll see lots of pictures. Mateo posted from the Grand Prix Final. And later this week, I have an interview that's going live with Frances Marie Dupayage and Thomas Nabe.
Well, over at FSO, photos from the Junior Grand Prix Final and Senior Grand Prix Final are up on the website, more to come, as well as the Junior Grand Prix Final and Senior Grand Prix Final recaps are up there, and I've got some things coming down the pipe over the next few weeks.
Be sure to send us your questions for our mailbag episode and any questions you have for Anne, because we're going to bring her back on for a Q&A and more discussion on her skating journalism career and other adventures. It's been a great 2024 coming to you weekly to talk about all the news and event information and updates and coverage. But we are going to be taking a break, as we mentioned, and we will see you back with weekly episodes in 2025.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of This Week in Skating. Remember, you can keep up with us throughout the week by visiting our website at www.thisweekinskating.com. Connect with us on social media for additional updates. You can find us on Twitter at This Week in Skating without the E's, or Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at This Week in Skating. You got a burning question or feedback for Gina, Daphne, or Mateo? Reach out to us via social media or drop us an email at thisweekinskating@gmail.com. And if you're really enjoying the show and want to support us further, consider joining our Patreon community at patreon.com/thisweekinskating. Until next time, have a nice week.